The Juneau man accused of murder in Excursion Inlet is a former Arizona state lawmaker. And the first cruise ship arrives in Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. Murder, manslaughter, and criminally negligent homicide charges have been filed against a Juneau man who allegedly shot another man in Excursion Inlet. The man accused appeared in court on Tuesday. KTOO's Matt Miller has more on the story.
53-year-old Mark Anthony DeSimone currently faces a total of 5 charges in connection with the Sunday evening incident near a cabin located on the beach. Bail was set at $500,000 cash during a Tuesday afternoon hearing in Juneau District Court. According to documents filed by the district attorney's office, 34-year-old Dulio Antonio Tony Rosales died after being shot twice in the back of the head. Rosales was apparently sitting on a picnic bench taking off his boots, and he rolled or he fell to the ground when he was shot. Rosales had an empty gun holster on his right hip. Assistant District Attorney Amy Page said in court Tuesday that Rosales' own firearm was still stowed in his backpack. Immediately after the shooting, DeSimone allegedly told another man at the scene, "I shot Tony. I shot him. It's my fault." An Alaska State Trooper arriving at the scene by air Sunday evening was greeted by 6 men. 4 of the men were standing on the beach in front of the cabin with their hands over their heads. Another was helping secure the scene, and the last man, identified as DeSimone, was sitting on a rock away from the others. One of the men at the scene handed the trooper a .41 caliber Magnum double-action revolver that was believed to be used in the shooting. Page says it is a difficult weapon to fire and requires 8 pounds of pressure to pull the trigger just once. Page said, "You have to mean it to fire it twice." She also explained the autopsy revealed stippling on the back of Rosales' neck, which indicated that the weapon was fired at extremely close range. Page called it an execution-style homicide. After DeSimone was escorted into court on Tuesday, he slightly turned his body away and avoided the gaze of Rosales' family and friends, who watched from the back of the courtroom. Rosales' widow, Maria, later posed a question to DeSimone, asking, "Why did you do this to my husband? Why do this?" She sobbed uncontrollably as she described how her husband was a religious man and worked hard to support his family. DeSimone did not appear to respond to her. Page says DeSimone told investigators that he was a former state lawmaker in Arizona. And at first, she says they took DeSimone's claim with a grain of salt. But after a little checking, they confirmed that DeSimone did serve in the Arizona House of Representatives until he was forced to resign. DeSimone was arrested in June of 2008 for assaulting his wife while his young daughter watched. The final disposition of that case is still unclear. Page described DeSimone as a drifter or a couch surfer who may have arrived in the Juneau area within the last month. She says DeSimone worked for jewelry store owner Bill Young as a day laborer, while Tony Rosales also worked for Young as a jeweler at the store. Page says Young hosted the group during a hunting trip over the weekend. DeSimone was not required to enter a plea during her first felony appearance on Tuesday. Instead, he will likely do that during an arraignment hearing in Superior Court if a grand jury returns with an indictment against him. Even if DeSimone manages to put up the $500,000 cash bail, he is to be released into the custody of a pre-approved third-party custodian, and DeSimone is not to drink alcohol, and he cannot have contact with any witnesses in the case. Public defender Tim Ayer reserved argument for lowering the bail amount until more evidence comes in. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
A fire engulfed a former bunkhouse in downtown Haines on Tuesday evening. Officials say it appears no one was hurt. They're still investigating the cause of the fire that took more than 2 hours to extinguish. Fire Department Chief Greg Palmieri was on the scene Tuesday at the burnt-out house on 2nd Avenue and Union Street. He said the department was alerted of the fire at around 5 p.m.
You know, we got a call. The building was fully involved. So we responded, and it was a defensive attack from the beginning, so... Total loss. Not that there was a lot there.
Palmieri and Acting Police Chief Josh Dryden said the building was formerly used as a bunkhouse for LAB Flying Service pilots. Interim Borough Manager Brad Ryan said the house was abandoned. Haines pilot Leighton Bennett founded LAB. He died earlier this year at the age of 96. Ryan said the building is apparently still under the ownership of the Bennett family. Fire Chief Paul Mary said he doesn't think anyone was inside the building at the time of the fire.
I'm hoping that we don't find any evidence that there was anybody in there, and that'll be great if that's the case. And I think it is. So far, my inspection hadn't showed anything.
As of Wednesday afternoon, the cause of the fire was still unknown. Skagway Borough Assembly has a full agenda for its Thursday meeting this week. Borough Attorney Bob Blasco will be in town to meet with the Assembly in executive session on three matters. There are pending requests to extend the subleases Temsco and Alaska Marine Lines hold with White Pass. Blasco will discuss implications of extending those contracts with the Assembly. The attorney will also advise the Assembly on the borough's potential purchase of property at Long Bay, and a request for attorney's fees from Alaska Mountain Guides. AMG applied for a Raptor tour permit in Lyersville in 2014, which Skagway's Planning Commission and Board of Appeals denied. AMG appealed that decision to Superior Court, and a Juneau judge remanded the request back to the Planning Commission for reconsideration. During the public portion of the meeting, the borough budget is up for a second reading and adoption. There's a list of items scheduled for discussion. They include commissioning two updated studies, one about the visitor industry's impact on Skagway, and one reviewing how Skagway uses cruise ship head taxes. The Assembly will also discuss a few port-related items, including whether to hire a maritime planner and what steps to take next in the effort to clean up and renovate the port. The mammoth floating communities, otherwise known as cruise ships, have been pulling into Skagway for a couple of weeks now. But on Wednesday, Haines saw its first vessel of the season. The Zandam lumbered into the Port Chilkoot dock bright and early, with visitors eager to step off and explore the Valley of the Eagles.
It's wonderful. We're enjoying it. I thought I needed my jacket, but I don't.
Becky and Lauren Workington are from Abbotsford, British Columbia. They're grinning ear to ear as they walk off the dock, and honestly, it was hard not to go over and talk to them.
First time to cruise, first time to Alaska, and first time to Haines.
And we are celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary.
The Workingtons were two of about 1,400 or so people to disembark in Haines. By comparison, in Skagway, four ships were in port Wednesday, bringing in more than 9,000 guests. As travelers walk down the dock onto solid ground, some of them inquire about various tours or sites, while others just mosey on down the street. Wednesday's ship originated in Vancouver, and despite a still flailing Canadian dollar, the Canucks were out in force. Youngsters Amelia and Aaron Brownlee were on their first cruise with their parents from Calgary, Alberta. Amelia says life on the cruise ship is pretty good. She says it's like a lot of mini houses stacked together.
There's a club for kids.
And then there's a pool,
It's hard to tell who's more excited about first ship day, the visitors or Mayor Jan Hill.
First ship of the year, look at the weather. I'm excited. I'm anxious. I'm excited.
Hill greets every ship that comes into port throughout the summer. She says cruise ship days are her fun days.
I get a lot of pictures taken with visitors, and it's a lot of fun for us. Last year, I had a visitor contact me by email to see if it would be okay if they used our picture for their Christmas postcard.
Up the street from the dock, visitors browsed in the shops, snapped selfies with Fort Seward in the background, and took in the sun and mountains. Some were headed over to Skagway to take the train up to White Pass, like British Columbian Marty Goodwin. She's been to Alaska a few times in the past, and she says it never gets old.
It's always different and nice people.
Leslie Ross is the tourism director in Haines. She says the first ship day means a sigh of relief, but not for long.
We get all the kinks out, you know, things that we forgot or didn't dust off from last year. And so it's nice to have this first day to get things moving. And we have some of the same crew from last year, so that makes it easy to ease right back into it. But the flowers are out, the sun's out. Yeah, perfect.
Ross says typically cruise ship visitors split their time between taking off on tours and sticking around in town for shopping and sightseeing. She says she's glad the Jocat Quan Heritage Center is now on the list of places to visit. Back at the dock, the Workingtons from British Columbia say they have nothing in particular planned for the day.
We're just going to wing it. Just going to see what we can see.
This season, Haines will see around 38,000 cruise ship visitors, while Skagway will get nearly 800,000. Go, 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 go For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening, and thank you for supporting community radio in the Upper Lynn Canal. You can always listen to or read local news stories on our website at khns.org.